Now we're going to meditate on the text for this feast of the Annunciation, or the Incarnation. The first text is what I think I've already alluded to. No, I didn't. Isaiah chapter 7. It was the oracle of the Alma. We'll discuss that a bit. Achaz is the king. He's a crook. John Kennedy once said, every mother wants her son to be president, but she doesn't want him in politics. We've had some great politicians. We've had great statesmen. Avery Dulles' father, John Foster Dulles, Adlai Stevenson, we've had some greats. But it's, if the purpose of the politician is to court the favor rather than direct and rule justly, it's a flop. Achaz was a flop, this king. So, the text says, as I already read some of it to you, in the days of Achaz, king of Judah, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, and so forth, Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, king of Israel, son of Remaliah, went up to attack Jerusalem, but they were not able to conquer it. When the word came to the house of David that Aram was encamped in Ephraim, the heart of the king and the heart of the people trembled. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Achaz, you and your son, She'er Yashub, which means the remnant will return, at the end of the conduit of the upper pole, and so forth. And then the words, take care that you remain tranquil, is the way this translation goes. And so forth. This shall not stand, this plan to come, conquer Jerusalem, put in a puppet king who will then join them in their rebellion, against the ones who are trying to get free. So, the oracle runs like this. This shall not stand. It shall not be. Damascus is the capital of Aram, and Rezin the head of Damascus. Samaria is the capital of Ephraim, and Remaliah's son the head of Samaria. But within 60 years and 5, Ephraim shall be crushed, no longer a nation. And then comes this very enigmatic, unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. Now, it runs, based on that notion of, Im lo ta'aminu, ki lo ha'aminu. Because the word for faith, or believe, the verb to believe in Hebrew, as we already saw, is the word in Abraham. Abraham believed God. What did he do? He made God firm. That's where the word, the root is aman, that's where we get amen from. To make something, someone firm, to make God firm means I will lean on him, and if he's not there, I fall flat on my face. I lean on you, God, to make you firm. Your word to me is firm. Every saint understands that. I have to believe what you told me. And what you tell me in the Bible, what you tell me in my heart, I have to believe it. And so this little play on words, you see, unless you believe, unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. You have to believe what I just told you, that this plan shall not stand, it shall not be. And so the Lord then spoke to Achaz. and said, "Ask for a sign from the Lord, let it be as deep as the nether world or high as the sky." And Akash said, "I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord." What hypocrisy. What he means is, I don't want something so challenging that I'll be at fault when I refuse to believe it. So I won't ask for a sign. And so then the answer comes. Then he said, God, and then through Isaiah, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary men? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall be living on curds and honey by the time he learns to reject the bad and choose the good. For before the child learns to reject the bad and choose the good," 6, 7, 5, whatever you want to put it there, you see, "the land of these two kings whom you dread shall be deserted." God is promising, you have nothing to be afraid of. And just ask me for a sign, and I'll give you a sign you can rely on. And Akash doesn't want to venture into that world at all. Oh, I wouldn't ask and tempt God. And so, God gives you this sign anyway. Now, this is what our text is talking about. It's the background for... Now, the text says, you see, in Hebrew, "Leken yeten Adonai hu, leken ot hine ha'alma, will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Imanu, with us, El." Now, the translations... Starting with the Septuagint, this word Alma comes, I forgot, I think it's about 9 times in the Bible. This is, I'm quoting now Brevard Childs, an exegete, his commentary. "Apart from the controversial reference in Proverbs 30:19, I'll take a look at that, the women in all the other references to Alma do actually appear to be virgins." See, it's not the word for virgin. It's the word for a young, marriageable woman. Genesis 24:43, Exodus 2:8, Psalm, and so forth. You see, but this one, "Behold, the Kyrios will give you a sign." And this is the sign. "Behold, the Parthenos will be carrying in her womb, and she will give birth to a son. And you will call his name Emmanuel." Now, it's a sacred movement in the sacred moment, because the king is always conceived in some particular way by God. But there's the regular human action of conceiving a child. This time there isn't. The Alma, you see, now there is a word for virgin in Hebrew, Betulah. And it's not the word used here. But, and that's what I was just reading, without one, except for one controversial text, the other texts are all speaking about someone who, you know, is a virgin. That's why when they translated this text into Greek, you see, they put in the word the Septuagint, "The Kyrios will give you a Simeon, Hidu, I Parthenos." That is the word for virgin, you see in Greek. "The virgin will bear in her womb and give birth to a son, and shall call his name Immanuel, with us God." And so, it's a mysterious word, and I'm taking time with it because everybody's writing about it. But this... treatment of Brevard Childs, who is in his commentary on Isaiah, is the sanest that I've seen. The word comes 4 times. 3 of them, it's talking about a young woman who's unmarried. Therefore, a virgin. And 1 time, it's difficult to figure out what it means. But the minute that they had to translate it into Greek, they knew they had to use the word for virgin, because that's the sign. That a woman conceives and bears birth, gives birth to a son, is not an extraordinary sign. It happens every day. But this is the parthenos, huh? The virgin will conceive and bear a son. And that's the way it's translated in the Jewish tradition itself, in this text. In other words, the text in Isaiah 7:14, where we are, is translated in the Septuagint by parthenos, the word for virgin. Because the translator knows the ramifications, the coloring of the word, and that it's a sign because it's a virgin who's giving birth like this. And this is part of a whole series of texts in this part of Isaiah, which have to do with the birth of a child. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and all those texts which we have at Christmas time. They're all from this area, chapters 7 up to 11. And they're all signs. So that's the sign that's being given. The final word of God to these people: form a plan, it shall not be thwarted. Make a resolve, it shall not be carried out, because Immanuel, God, is with us. You don't have to worry about this invasion. But it was clearly understood, as most of the prophecies were, that it has an ultimate resolution. It's not just to help out Ahaz, who's a crook, but to give God's people a sign of the wondrous thing that God is going to do. And that's the text here. I want to talk a little while about the psalm, because it's an incarnation psalm. I can remember reading this psalm. I was in Rome doing my studies, and I read this text, and I understood, you see, that this is what the Lord did. I want to read more of it than I have in my text here. I waited for the Lord. I thought I put that down, but I guess I didn't. So I'm going to have to look for it. I waited for the Lord, and he stooped to me. He drew me out of the miry pit. He set me on a rock firm and high. And I knew in my heart, this is the resurrection. Then the text goes on with the part that we have. Sacrifice and oblation you did not want. What you wanted, as the text says, you see, behold, I come to do your will. In my body, I will carry out your will. And that, you see, is the opening part of the letter to the Hebrews, where we'll see in a moment. But this is Psalm 40, and he put his finger right on it. And when I was reading it, all of a sudden, it was so clear. See, you drew me out of a miry pit, and you set me on a high rock. You see, I am the proclamation of your mercy.